The views and opinions of today's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of the TJRS Radio Network. Thank you for being a loyal listener and enjoy the show.
Online radio at its best. You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise.
Good morning, and welcome to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, the show where we discuss politics, social issues affecting people of color, and every now and then a little comedy as well. Now here's your host, J. Ryle.
Good Sunday morning to you folks. Today is March 10th, 2024, and here are the topics that will be discussed on this week's edition of The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
Good evening. If I were smart, I'd go home now. In November, my team began serious negotiations with a bipartisan group of senators. The result was a bipartisan bill with the toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen. Oh, you don't think so? Oh, you don't like that bill, huh? That conservatives got together and said it was a good bill? I'll be darned. That's amazing.
The race for a spot in the U.S. Senate will be the most high-profile race in Texas come November. North Texas Representative Colin Allred challenging Senator Ted Cruz for his seat in the election.
Live over Capitol Hill, where Hunter Biden testified before Congress behind closed doors today. He faced questions from House Republicans as part of their impeachment inquiry into his father.
This whole thing really has been a tremendous waste of our legislative time and the people's resources.
You acknowledge that their relationship began in 2019.
I do not have knowledge, but again, I have consulted with the bar as late as yesterday at 4 o'clock. I am not here to...
Your testimony is that you do not have independent knowledge.
I was advised by the bar that Rule 1.6 of confidentiality applies and that I cannot reveal anything that I saw or learned.
Online radio at its best.
Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. There is something about stillness, and I believe that this verse is calling us to be still before the Lord because we need to direct all of our attention, all of our focus on the Lord. And if you really think about it, when the Bible says, be still and know that I am God, it's really telling you to stop everything you're doing. Stop worrying. Stop fighting. Stop resisting and start yielding to God. Start listening to God. You see, when you spend time getting to know the Lord, when you spend time in the presence of Jesus Christ, you will truly be transformed. And I encourage you to desire and hunger for these types of rich encounters in the presence of God. Because it's only in those one-to-one intimate encounters that each of us can get a personal revelation of who God truly is. It's only in those one-to-one intimate encounters that each of us can be empowered and filled with courage. The courage to face the world and stand up for Christ. The courage to stand up to the devil and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. The prophet Isaiah received a revelation that should inspire all of us to recognize God for who he truly is. Listen carefully to what Isaiah 45, verse 2 to 7 says. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect. I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting, that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things.
Is our call-in number, 347-850-1272. It is the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Of course, I'm your boy, J. Ryle. Thank you for spending a portion of your Sunday with us, but I never share the stage by myself. Guess who's back in town, y'all? Vanessa Mae Billy from the McAnally is back off the ship. And my boy, Mr. L to the E to the S is in the house as well. Let's bring him in. Big Sis, what's going on? Welcome in, sweetie. How are you?
Let me just talk. Good morning. I've had a good trip with some good friends. And I want to tell you what one of the Republicans said. But I just miss y'all. Oh, my God, how I miss y'all when I'm not on the show. But it's not going to stop me from going on vacation, but I miss y'all.
Well, I know that's right. You know, where's your allegiance? Like, I miss y'all, but I don't miss you that damn much. I got you, Vanessa. No problem. We miss you, too, sweetie. We miss you, too. The man who gets the first and last word, the one and only Mr. L to the E to the S is in the house as well. Good morning, sir. How you do?
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, Nessa, good morning, OMB, good morning, Kathleen, good morning, Marianne Music, good morning, Real Dave, good morning, Rich Sister, and good morning, my brother Hawk, and good morning, my brother Jerome.
Look at that guy. The number is 347-850-1272. And you know, if you listen to the show, you know what time it is. We kind of throw things around that did not make the final agenda for this morning show. Big news this past week. Nikki Haley decided to hang him up. So she hung up the cleats, she threw in the towel, and she made a comment. Her remarks, well, I hope Donald Trump earned the right or earned the vote of my voters, of my supporters. Mr. Elias, man, first of all, are you surprised that she dropped out? And second of all, what do you make of that statement? You know, I hope he earns the support of my supporters, earn their votes. What say you?
Well, you know something, man. Well, you know, let's call it what it is, man. No, I wasn't surprised she dropped out. You know, the bottom line is she said until Super Tuesday, so that's what she did. And in reference to what the orange colonel said, he said he didn't want Nikki Haley's supporters. He said he didn't want him in the MAGA world. So, hey, man, get him out. That's what he said. He didn't want him. So he didn't want him in the MAGA world. I don't know why they placated to this guy. Let it go. He don't want nothing to do with your voters. And I was telling him, hey, you probably need to go vote for Biden because this guy don't want nothing to do with you.
Wow. Vanessa, Mr. Elias was singing the song from Frozen, Let It Go, Let It Go. What are your comments on the fact that Nikki Haley dropped out and she says to her supporters, or to Donald Trump, you need to earn the vote of my supporters, and that's okay, but what threw me off was when she said, and I hope you do. What say you, Vanessa?
Well, I personally am glad that she hung in there because
You're glad what?
My voice is scratchy because I'm traveling. I've been traveling. I'm tired. I'm sorry. I'm glad that she stayed in there because her supporters and her people who put up money want her to stay in there. And you kind of have to do what they want you to do because what if she decides that she wants to run for an office later? So as a woman, I'm glad she stayed in there, that she didn't just bow down and just automatically kiss the ring. So I'm glad she stayed in there. Now, to earn the support of her supporters, some of them said they was going to go ahead and back the Republicans. But some of them did say that they were going to sit back and wait and see what Trump had to say. So she's saying that don't just think that because I'm bowing out that you're going to get my people. I think she's being a good, strong woman. I do. I don't want her to be a wuss while she's in there because then it doesn't give women a chance, women of the future.
Wow. I'm not sure if I agree with that statement, but not the statement about women, you know, women having a voice in the future, the fact that she was a strong woman. She was wishy-washy when it came to the Confederate
flag. She
might
have been wishy-washy.
She was,
and that's
she was very
but
wishy-washy.
She didn't back out. She could have backed out a long time ago, and she didn't.
I don't know about that one. Okay. Hey, listen, that's
well,
your...
I'm, as a woman, not as a man, as a woman... I wanted
yes.
to see her hang in there as long as she could until she couldn't anymore.
Interesting.
Woman.
So let me ask you a question as a woman. Had it, you know, had the race boiled down between her and Joe Biden, would you have voted for her?
You know what? Me and Bobby probably would have been over here boxing it out, cussing each other out.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have had to take that one to the Lord. I really
Wow.
I'm serious. I have not listened to everything she had to say about everything, but I would have had to stop and do some research on Nikki.
She said there's no racism in America.
He's a Democrat. Y'all know how y'all say people are voting for Trump just because he's a Republican? They're voting party over people. That's what y'all are saying.
Vanessa, she said all the things that you hate. She said that
okay.
she wants to raise the age of Social
said,
Security.
That's what I just said. I had done some research on her. I didn't say I was going to vote for her. I said I would have done some research because I haven't been listening to her. But I would have had to have listened to her more than I would have listened to Trump.
She's the person that says that there's no racism in America, as she changes her name from what her real name is to Nikki Haley. She said there's no racism in America.
What's her real name?
What is it, Nakashari or something like that? She said there's never been racism in America. Never been racism in America.
That's why people listen to this show, so that you can gain the knowledge of stuff that you didn't have knowledge on. I didn't say I would vote for Nikki. I did say that I would have to pay attention and read and do research on her. But see, I wouldn't have to do no damn research because you and Les would have got my ass straight. So there it is. But no,
Lord Jesus.
I wouldn't want to just give Biden my vote just to give it to him. I'm sorry, I wouldn't.
No,
I would
so you
have
were
going to
consider Nikki Haley. Wow.
I would
Trump's
have to see what
you ambassador.
But Les would have got me straight. That's okay.
Not you, Les.
Les would have gotten me straight. You gonna sit there and moan about what I said.
Damn right. Damn Skippy. Wow. All right. So Lauren Barbett, everybody knows who she is, right? So Trump endorsed her. Damn, what's wrong with me? Trump endorsed her. And I said it again. Say it for me, Mr. Elias. Why am I having a problem saying that word this morning?
Man. I don't
Trump
know.
Endorsed Trump. Her. There it is. Damn.
Yeah,
it's water,
her, yes.
coffee, or something. Anyway, and she lost. So now, could it be one of two crazy ass Republican women? Are we starting to see her disappear from the national stage? I'll start with you, Vanessa. Well, Vanessa, I'll start with you on this. What do you think? Did you even know this news? That she was...
No.
Okay, so let me swing back to Mr. Elias. Mr. Elias,
yes, I don't know.
I got you. So now, is this a situation where she's starting to fade to black on the national scene, my brother?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Think so?
She's starting to fade to black. Yes, without a doubt.
Oh.
I think so. Why would you think so?
No, I'm just saying because, well, you know what? You may have a point because as I was about to answer your question, I thought of one, Sarah Palin. We haven't heard her name in a long time, so maybe,
so
maybe
guys,
you're right.
Wait,
my hand is up. What if I'm not the only person who don't know what you're talking about? So talk to the audience as if they kind of don't know either. So can you give them like a 1 minute brief? Because I might not be the only one that don't know what you're talking about.
You probably are, but that's okay. So
okay, then that's
everybody
okay. Keep
knows.
Going all right.
Well, you know who Lauren Bartlett is, Barbie is, right? You know who she is, right? She is.
Lauren Bartlett is.
Go ahead, Miss Elias. Yeah, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead because really that'll help me. I'm in the middle of some stuff, so go ahead. Go ahead and explain it to her.
No, you go ahead, Jack. Grant.
I'm trying to get some stuff together for the show, and I'm asking this man to take. Go ahead and do it.
You're not the only one trying to get stuff together. You remember, I'm leaving.
Okay, fine.
Okay, y'all. Then bypass
it. Fine. Let's move on. All right.
Just
so anyway,
move on.
Vanessa. No, listen. You're right. I have to give you credit because you're saying that for people who may not know what we're talking about, we need to be able to add substance to the conversation. All right, so, I mean, I get it. I understand it, and you're absolutely correct. So she is she's a member of the House of Representatives from Colorado, right? And so she's the one that got caught in the theater, you know, doing hanky-panky with some dude. She's a Trump loyalist. And so now she's in trouble with her re-election bid. So that's who she is. And so basically Trump endorsed her, and she lost. So once again, what we're seeing is Donald Trump is toxic for the GOP. But people don't get that. They continue to vote this man in office and continue to follow this guy like the Pied Piper. So that's who she is. I thought you knew who she was because we've talked about her on the show on numerous occasions. So basically, she just lost. And Trump endorsed her. So that's the big news there. All right, one last story before we get out of here because we're running late. Mr. Elias, this one's directed to you. KC, the Kansas City Chiefs, is now the most hated team in the country. They replaced the Dallas Cowboys. So,
okay.
Listen.
Why?
I know
why.
Why are
they hating on the Chiefs?
Well,
why?
You go ahead. You tell everybody why they're hating on the Chiefs.
I don't know why. I couldn't tell you. I've been following this.
Well, you know why? Because they're winning. Nobody likes, you know why? They're winning too much. That's why. People don't like it.
What? What about all the years that we suffered and lost?
Yeah, you're not suffering. You're not losing now, sir. And so no one likes the Chiefs. They're the most hated team.
Don't say no one likes the Chiefs.
The majority of Americans do not like the Kansas City Chiefs. They are the most hated team in the NFL. They have replaced the Dallas Cowboys.
That fuels the fire for us.
I hope it does. I'm just reporting the facts.
So we can win again next year.
Well, there you go. Win it again next year. Okay, that is it. We are done, folks. Coming up is an NPR News update, and after that, the heavy lift of the show, 347-850-1272. We'll be right back after this. We appreciate you. It's a little chilly in Texas today. Hope you guys are staying warm. I hope the weather's good in your neck of the woods, and we'll be right back after this.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. With Georgia's primary vote coming up on Tuesday, President Biden and former President Trump took their campaigns to the Peach State this weekend. Sam Gringless of member station WABE in Atlanta has that story.
President Biden flipped Georgia blue by roughly 11,000 votes in 2020. But 2 years later, in the midterms, voters delivered a split decision, returning a Republican to the governor's mansion and a Democrat to the U.S. Senate. In Atlanta, Biden drew contrast with Trump, simultaneously rallying in North Georgia.
I reduced the burden of student debt for nearly 4 million Americans, including teachers, nurses, firefighters, and other public servants. Donald Trump swears that if he gets elected, he'll stop it. But let me tell you something. He won't stop me.
Trump and Biden will also need to persuade suburban swing voters, especially former Republican enclaves, key to recent Democratic wins. For NPR News, I'm Sam Greenglass in Atlanta.
President Biden has said he believes Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is damaging Israel's reputation with his approach to the war against Hamas in Gaza. While affirming U.S. support for Israel, Biden told MSNBC the death toll in Gaza is contrary to the values of Israel. The BBC's Anna Foster reports the comments came as a U.S. Army logistics ship departed for Gaza to establish a temporary floating path.
The U.S. support ship set off from the port of Virginia, a military base there, on Saturday. This aid is much needed in Gaza. The UN in particular has warned that around a quarter of the civilian population there, that's more than 500,000 people, are facing imminent famine. Meanwhile, there's another ship that is on its way to Gaza too. This is an aid ship loaded with around 200 tons worth of food that is still waiting at the moment to set sail from Cyprus.
The BBC's Anna Foster. Authorities in Miami Beach are beefing up a police presence and relying upon state troopers to avert chaos as spring break season sets in. Veronica Zaragovia of member station WLRN reports.
The city announced the measures, including the closure of public parking lots and DUI checkpoints, in a video with the hashtag Spring Breakup.
We're breaking up with you.
And don't try to apologize and come crawling back. This isn't safe. So we're done.
Officers are also scanning license plates on cars entering the barrier island and checking bags on beach entries. Miami Beach Police Chief Wayne Jones says he wants to avoid arresting visitors.
We want them to just have a good time, do it safely, and play by our rules.
The restrictions mostly affect this and next weekend. For NPR News, I'm Veronica Zaragovia on Miami Beach.
This is NPR News.
We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them. Beat them.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
Let's get a little bit rowdy. R-O-W-D-Y.
Take time to be a dad today.
All those boys are much too much. Those boys are much too much.
Online radio at its best.
New emergency authority temporarily shut down the border when the number of migrants at the border is overwhelming. The Border Patrol Union has endorsed this bill. The Federal Chamber of Commerce is... Yeah. You're saying, no, look at the facts. I know you know how to read. Tonight, let's all agree once again to stand up for seniors. Many of my friends on the other side of aisle want to put Social Security on the chopping block. If anyone here tries to cut Social Security, Medicare, or raise your retirement age, I will stop you. Republicans can cut Social Security and give more tax breaks to the wealthy. That's the proposal. Oh no. You guys don't want another $2 trillion tax cut? I kind of thought that's what your plan was. Well, that's good to hear. You're not going to cut another $2 trillion for the super wealth. That's good to hear. 46,000 new projects have been announced all across your communities. And by the way, I noticed some of you strongly voted against it, or they're cheering on that money coming in. I like it. I'm with you. If any of you don't want that money in your district, just let me know.
(laughs) 347-850-1272. That was President Biden at the State of the Union, really giving Republicans the business. I loved it. The fact that he was interacting with them, he didn't ignore them. If they said something stupid, he challenged it. It was a wonderful thing to watch. And a lot of Democrats can rest easy because now it looks like the old man still got it. So, Mr. Elias, man, give me your impressions and your thoughts on the State of the Union. And how do you think Biden held up? And, you know, give me your thoughts on it.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed it, man. And I, you know, Man, it's always going to be something on the left. But when he said illegals, that kind of upset people. But, hey, man, it, you know, the president's speech overall, I give it an A minus, man. It was damn good. When he said the fact that you can only love America when you're winning, my God, that says it all. That says it all. And then he never brought up his predecessor's name, which I'm not bringing it up either. From now on, his name is predecessor. So, bottom line, I thought it was a great speech. You know, he laid out what he'd done, you know, and what was going on in the country. But, you know, and then right after that, the day after that, he went on the stomping tour. So, man, you know, for all y'all who said it was too old, hey, there it is. He's out there doing his thing. So I think he needs more of that. I think people need to hear from him a lot more than what they hear from him. I know he's got a lot of work to do. I know that. And that's what he's trying to get done. And people don't realize what he's trying to get accomplished, but he's getting a lot of stuff accomplished. You know, I listen to all the things that he's got. He's got the CHIPS Act, which is bringing us making the CHIPS back into the United States of America. He's got the Infrastructure Act. He's got this bill. He's getting stuff accomplished. And people don't realize that how much stuff he's getting accomplished, and act like he's not doing anything, just sitting on his hands. Like I listen to the college students, you know, talk. And if you talk to my staff, you do realize Joe Biden gave more money than any other president in the history of the United States, right? They said, no, he didn't. I said, okay, well, look it up. You ain't got to ask me. You guys like going on the Internet and look it up. The Internet is right there to tell you the truth. And he has given $7 billion to HBCUs. So, look, folks, the information is out there. You just got to go look for it.
Wow, good stuff. So, Vanessa, I'm pretty sure you didn't have an opportunity to watch the State of the Union while you were cruising, and we'll definitely hear more about that later on in the show. But were you able to even catch some of the highlights of the speech? Did any of your Republican friends bring it up on the cruise? So give me your thoughts on the information that you have or what you were able to see from the State of the Union. Give me your thoughts.
It was they didn't have a CNN or MSNBC channel on the ship. They just had CBS, which is kind of neutral. So I did see some highlights. I saw crazy Green with all that red and white Trump stuff on, screaming that he was a lie. And, you know, I saw him when he's, you know, people were mad at him because he said illegal. And then he went back and he backtracked and apologized for it. And then that gave Trump an avenue to be able to call him a wuss. So just some of the highlights, but we did have a conversation because I'm sure they probably saw some of the highlights in their room. And I never talk politics with the husband, and this is not the ritzy Republican. This is the trailer bought one on the lake Republican. So she said, which I was surprised, I said, Lord, this is just going to be another crazy 4 years, and that I just don't know what to say about everything that is going on. And she said, this country is in trouble. This country is in trouble either way it goes, whoever is in office, because it is going to take so many years to fix it, to take it back to where it was. To take it back to where it was before.
To fix what, though? I mean, and see, and this is where you have to challenge these people. Fix what?
Can I finish?
Yes, ma'am.
So she was saying to fix it and that it would take our great-grandchildren to fix it. So I said,
wow.
So Silva, what are you saying? You can't be saying to fix the economy because the economy is in good shape. She said to fix where when you and I walk into places and people are surprised that you and I are together. And I get that, what she said. I get that because she is absolutely correct.
Okay.
So what
she's saying is
that to take it back to when black and white people, when Obama was in office and black and white people were together, it just wasn't a big deal. But now because she didn't want to say it, but now because of Trump, it's strange to see black and white people together unless they married. So she's absolutely right. And she is absolutely right when she says except for she said it's going to take grandchildren. She said, my grandchildren will have to fix this, and yours too, Vanessa. And I said, no, my granddaughter's 30. It's going to be my great-granddaughter trying to fix this. So she's right. It is, even if Biden get back in office, you still, Les, I know you agree with me, are going to have some of them people that are going to be diehard Trumpsters until they go to their grave. So it is going to take a minute to get this country back to where it's not so much racism and so much hatred. She's right. She's right.
Okay.
Because we go
well,
into places, and guess what they say? Are y'all? And they look at us, and they'll be waiting, and they'll still be walk up, and we'll be like, hey, y'all, we'll hug it. They'll be like, are all y'all together? You ought to see their faces.
Okay.
You ought to see their faces. So.
Well, let me say this.
If you're not in that world, if you're not in the world with having white people around you, then you don't get it. If your whole circle is just straight up black, then okay, I'm not even going to try to get you to get it.
Okay, so now my response to what you just said. At the end of the day, we talk about when is it going to get right. I mean, the last time I checked, you said during the Obama administration, you know, you saw black people and white people working together and stuff like that. Okay, I'll give you that. Racism in this country has been around for a very long time. You know,
it's
I'm pretty sure well, there you go. So when she's talking about getting back to when we walked in a room together, people were, listen, I don't know, when people say things like this country's in trouble, no matter who's elected, you know, you need to be more specific. And so if she's saying that, okay, it's in trouble because of the racial factor, well, it's been in trouble since ever since we've been brought over here on slave ships, if you want to use that analogy. I guess for me, when people say things like that, it just sends these, like, for example, I'll give you a prime example. So the State of the Union, you know, we're talking about that now. You know, President Biden sparring back and forth with the Republicans. I thought he did an outstanding job. I'm not sure, A-, A-plus, I'm not sure. I don't know where I would grade it. I just, for me, what he did was he settled the stomachs of Democrats who were concerned about, you know, commercials showing him falling down the stairs. By the way, if you are on President Biden's, you know, the public, public affairs team, whatever the case may be, call me. I have a perfect commercial to counter that nonsense that these PACs are putting out there showing him tumbling down the stairs. Call me. I promise you the commercial spot that I create for you would be the bomb diggity. But I digress. But for example, the Republican response, Katie Britt, she's a state senator from Alabama. And that was, you know, once again, so Bobby Jindal, freaking Marco Rubio, they are happy. Say, oh, my God, we're off the hook, because that had to be one of the worst GOP responses. Even people on the Republican side of the fence were saying, my Lord, what was that? What the F was that? But here's an example of how people tell lies, and they need to be fact-checked. She told the story about a person that was a part of some sex trade and how men went in a room and raped her over and over and over and over again. Very detailed. And once again, I feel horrible for the young lady who had to experience that. But she left her viewers with the impression that this happened under President Biden. So here are the facts. The facts is what she talked about happened in Mexico, right? And here's another fun fact for you. It happened between the year 2000 to 2004. Now, the last time I checked, who was in office at that time?
Bush.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So once again, they put these lies out here. It's like that when you go on YouTube and you see the what's the guy name? Jordan Kibler. I can't remember his name, but he goes out to Trump.
Jordan Kimmel.
Yeah, there
Jordan
you go. He sticks mics in people's face, and the one guy, you know, I'm going to blame Obama. Obama wasn't there during 9/11. He should have been on the job, but he wasn't. He said, what do you think he was doing? I don't know, probably playing golf, but he wasn't on the job. 9/11, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Once again,
mm-hmm.
He was in office. So we go through this process where we have to check these people. They can't just throw nonsense out there. So people talk about the Democrats and their messaging and how, you know, Biden needs to do better. Well, listen, if you support the Democratic Party, you are part of the messaging machine as well. So you have to tell the truth. So when people start lying about stuff, cut them off. Cut them off. I was in a conversation with a guy, and I'm trying to think, where was I? I can't remember, but he started talking about immigration. I think we were in a store somewhere, and you know, I know where I was. I was in a hotel, and we were sitting having breakfast, and, you know, this hotel had Fox News up, and I'm like, oh, boy. So I'm on my phone watching MSNBC. So the guy was taking, you know, he looked over at me, and he says, oh, you used to be military? I said, yeah. And he talked about, well, man, our immigration, it sucks, you know. Biden is weak on immigration, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, let me ask you something. I said, from 2008 to today's date, I said, which president, under which administration did you see a reduction in immigrants coming across the border? Oh, Trump was on top of it. I said, well, you know what? That's not true. Said it was Obama and Biden. Matter of fact, it skyrocketed under Trump. I said, you want to talk about the deficit? In the last, since President Obama till present day, under which administration did the debt, the national debt go up? You're going to probably say one of the other two. I'm like, yeah, because it's true. Right? I mean, you want to talk about stuff. It is true. Matter of fact, here's another fun fact for you. Since President Obama, which administration is the only administration in American history, well, for the most part, modern history, where that administration saw the loss of more jobs than jobs gained? And he said, let me guess, it's Trump. You're damn right it is. Only reason I said Trump because I knew that's where you were going. I said, well, listen, here's the problem. Facts are facts. You can sit here and try to spin it any way you want, but facts are facts. And that's one of the things I loved about the State of the Union when he talked about the immigration bill. And you're right, Mr. Elias, he probably should have used a different term. You know, he's from the old school, and that's what they were called back then. You know, I'm not saying that it's right, wrong, and different, but I'm just saying that he's old school, like me being in the military. We call military family members, they were called dependents back in the day, but the military has changed that term because they feel that it's more demeaning. But I say, hey, she's a military dependent. No, they're a military family member. My bad. But I love the fact when he busted them out on the immigration bill, saying, hey, you know what? This bill would give me the power to do X, Y, Z. This bill will speed up the process of the immigration hearings, but y'all voted it down because Donald Trump told you not to do it. Boo, boo, okay. Go read the bill. And as he was saying this, the camera was on one of the conservative members of the GOP who helped, you know, create that bill, and he was shaking his head, yeah, the president is right. A total embarrassment. So, Mr.
My question is, real quick, didn't the predecessor have 4 years to fix immigration, two of which he had the House and the Senate?
Amen.
And it didn't get done? What was me? I'm shocked.
Yeah. A million people lost their lives to COVID. A million people lost their lives to COVID because of the incompetency of that president. A million people. Remember, the Obama administration had put in a dangerous disease. What you say, Vanessa?
People, especially Democrats, have short memories.
What do you mean Democrats have short memories? What does that mean?
Because, you know what? Those same Democrats, if they remember what Trump did with all of that, you know what? Didn't I tell y'all that my masseuse didn't even remember that Trump put children in cages? Democrats have short memories, and they're too damn forgiving. So all of this stuff that Trump has done, you would think that black people or Democrats, white, green, purple, Hispanic, would be lined up days before early voting starts, but you watch that they don't. You watch that
they
don't.
Of course
because
not.
Because they got short memories. We're going to have this same conversation again, and Jerome is going to probably agree with me that Democrats have a short memory and that they're too forgiving, and that if they wasn't like that, honey, Donald Trump wouldn't, Biden's numbers would be way over Trump. Now, you can't believe all these different stats and surveys and stuff because they're sending them to me and I don't fill them out. But, well, I stopped filling them out. But if it was, if they knew that the black people was going to get out there and vote for real, Trump's, Biden's numbers would be way over Trump. And they're
not. I don't know.
Because black people have a reputation, and we were talking about it on the ship, and this older black lady was saying that Biden numbers should be way ahead, but because young black people are voting for Trump, they're taking the steps away from Biden. And that those same young black people, this was a little group of us on the slot machines and we're talking, and I don't know where they were from, but they said the exact same thing I'm saying to y'all right now. And so I'm not the only person, y'all, that's saying this or thinking this. I'm not. It was a group of us that was over there. It's like nine of us over there. So if it's nine, then she's talking to nine, or they talking to nine others. It's not just me. So y'all can say, Vanessa, you wrong, and blah, blah. I don't care. But I'm out there with the people. I'm not just right here in this little circle. I'm out there with the people talking about it. So I don't have to be pushing Biden to be out there with them. I can be out there listening to what they have to say, maybe kind of change their mind a little bit or give them another view to look at it. Y'all know me. So to know Vanessa is to know that if somebody says something about a black person or back in the day, y'all know I'm going to get them straight. So don't say, well, it's your responsibility to tell those people and to get it right. I know. I don't have to call people on the carpet for every little thing, but I do call them on the carpet when I feel that my friends need to be called on the carpet. So
well,
I'm out here doing my part.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question.
Because Biden's 4 years are going to end, baby.
Okay,
I
hear you.
I like
them. I hear you. So now, here's my question to you. If someone stands in front of you and says some tell lies about Bobby.
I'm a customer. They tell lies
okay.
about Bobby.
So if someone stands in front of you and tell blatant lies on someone that you care about or someone that's important to you or something that's important to you, you're not going to call them out on it? You're just going to let them just continue to spew the lies?
I just said to you that I would call them out depending on what it is. I am going to pick my battles. I'm going to pick my battles with you, Jay. I don't like everything that come out of your mouth.
Ouch.
I don't call you on the carpet about it.
Well, you just did. Mr. Elias, no, man, get
this
woman.
Everything.
Get her off me. Get her off me. Get
that's,
her
that's
off me.
That's not everything.
Get them, Nessa. Get them.
You know,
so
well,
I'm not, I pick my battles, and I'm not going to call people on the carpet for every little thing because it doesn't matter.
Well, your opinion does matter.
What matters that
what
we
matters,
get the word out to some of these black children, and that's why I keep making little posts on Facebook that these people need to get out there and go vote, get ready. I'm not going to wait until September to start making posts about election and voting. I'm not going to wait until September. I'm going to put it in the back of their mind right now that they need to get ready to vote. You might not see it on my page, but last season on my page, I probably post something every 2 weeks.
Well, first of all, I'm not going to see it on your page because I don't go on Facebook all that often. So you're trying to bust me out this morning.
That you're not going to see it.
You know what?
So I am doing my part, and I'm not going to ride my friends on the carpet about every little thing. But if it's something I feel like they need to be told off about, I got them. And anybody who knows me know I'm going to tell you what I think of what you said.
There you go. I guess that's a drop the mic moment. Yeah, I'm going to think about it, that's for sure. I will carry on. Okay, in this week's edition of it, 4 minutes or less, something that you need to know. Immigration, we talked about it in this segment. President Biden, he brought it up during the State of the Union. So let's take a closer look at immigration and why people are just using immigration to scare the hell out of voters to vote for their particular candidate. It's convener time in 4 minutes or less, something that you need to know. We'll be right back after this.
During last night's State of the Union, the murder of Laken Riley took center stage. Riley was a 22-year-old student who was killed last month at the University of Georgia. The suspect in her murder is a Venezuelan migrant who officials say was illegally in the U.S. During the Republican rebuttal, Riley's murder was brought up by Alabama Senator Katie Britt.
She was brutally murdered by one of the millions of illegal border crossers President Biden chose to release into our homeland. Y'all, as a mom, I can't quit thinking about this. I mean, this could have been my daughter. This could have been yours.
NPR immigration correspondent Jasmine Garz has been looking at the research about immigrants and crime. Jasmine, good to talk to you again.
Hi.
What do the data show about crime rates among immigrant communities?
So a lot of the research we have looks into incarceration because that's where immigration status data gets recorded. And some of the most extensive research comes from Stanford University, from economist Ron Abramitsky. He found that since the 1960s, immigrants are 60% less likely to be incarcerated than U.S.-born Americans. And there's also state-level research that shows similar results. All this to say, as horrifying as the Laken Riley murder is, it is simply untrue that immigrants are more prone to commit crimes.
So that's the data on incarceration. What about crime overall?
Recent investigations by the New York Times and the Marshall Project found that between 2007 and 2016, there was no correlation between undocumented people and a rise in violent or property crime.
No correlation. Does any of that research look into why immigrants are less likely to commit crimes?
It does. The Stanford University study concluded that first-generation immigrants traditionally do better than U.S.-born men who didn't finish high school, which is the group most likely to be incarcerated in the U.S. You know, in my own reporting, spending time in immigrant communities, there's a very real fear of getting in trouble and deported, so people don't want to rock the boat.
You also spend a lot of time listening to people who are opposed to immigration. So how widespread is the false belief that there is a wave of immigrant crimes?
I found that it's pretty widespread. You know, a few months ago, I was reporting on a migrant shelter functioning in New York in Staten Island. And I went into a flower shop right by the shelter, and I spoke to the owner, Anthony Pagano.
How do you put migrants across from a elementary school, an all-girl high school, and another public elementary school? You don't know who they are, criminal. You see all the crimes that are being committed by migrants.
When I got back, I looked on the Staten Island Police Department site. There had been no rise in rates for murder, rape, or robbery.
Reporting there from NPR immigration correspondent Jasmine Garz. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Online radio at its best.
The race for a spot in the U.S. Senate will be the most high-profile race in Texas come November. North Texas Representative Colin Allred challenging Senator Ted Cruz for his seat in the election. Right now, both candidates are making polls for crossover voters, Democrats and Republicans that vote across party lines. Now, Allred is already known as a more moderate representative, almost right after Allred was named the Democratic nominee. Conservative Republican Ted Cruz announced a new coalition, though, Democrats for Cruz. Yeah, here's a clip promoting this new coalition.
I've been a Democrat all my life.
Democrat? My parents were all Democrats.
I've been elected sheriff, Democratic sheriff for the last 28 years.
And I support Ted Cruz.
Well, the Democratic sheriff in that ad is a Danny Dominguez out of Presidio County. That's along the border near Big Bend National Park. Sheriff Dominguez is attending the State of the Union tonight as a guest of Senator Cruz. He says he's becoming a crossover voter because of border security. The county has more than 100 miles of sort of a southern border there. Cruz released a statement saying, these Texans know that today's Democrat Party is not what it used to be. Representative Allred says he believes the majority of Texans don't want the political parties to be stuck in extremes. Here's a clip from his victory speech Tuesday.
While I will be the Democratic nominee, I want every Texan to know, whether you're a Democrat, an independent, or Republican, that I want you to be involved in this campaign. And I want to serve you in the United States Senate.
Allred says that he prides himself on his ability to reach across the aisle and that Cruz is one of the most partisan senators in the entire country.
Welcome back in. It's 10 minutes before the top of the hour, 50 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Serious Side right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Colin Alfred, he won the Democratic primary, so now he's challenging Ted Cruz for that spot. Now, people may say, well, why are you guys talking local Texas politics? Well, because this story and this race has national implications. You know, everyone knows who Ted Cruz is. Ted Cruz, the guy who called Donald Trump a sniffling, whining, whatever, because he called his wife ugly, because he said that, you know, Ted Cruz's dad had something to do with the assassination of JFK. And then he turned around and started licking his ass and kissing his ring as soon as it was over with. Also, when one of the worst storms in Texas history hit, Ted Cruz went to Cancun, left his constituents behind, and his dog, by the way, and went to Cancun. At least he got on the plane, and his excuse, or what he said was, well, I wanted to escort my family there. Who takes a flight to Cancun, drops the family off, and turns around and come back? You know why? Because he heard the backlash. So anyway, for the first time in a long time, people think that Cancun Cruz is in trouble. So Vanessa, obviously this is a Texas story. Definitely want to get your input on this. What do you think? Do you think we can finally send this clown out to pasture?
You know what? I am really hoping that we can. And I make all kind of snide remarks on Facebook about we need to cruise him on to Cancun, that kind of stuff. So without saying directly who it is, because I don't want Facebook to block me.
Hold up. You said you make corny remarks? Is that what you said?
I do. Yes. Do corny. I make corny remarks about Cancun, about cruise?
That is corny.
But they catch it.
Yeah.
They catch it. They understand that I'm saying we need to get rid of Cancun cruise.
Mm-hmm.
They know who I'm talking about because they message me on the side. Because they don't want people to know that they're talking to me about it. So, yeah, let's cruise on to Cancun. Go vote. You know, just all kind of stuff. It doesn't matter. It's gonna get worse and worse when it gets close to end. But you know what? It's okay. I want to get rid of him. And if I have to start naming a name in a little bit, I'm going to kind of name a name. Make sure you don't vote for the person who left and went on vacation during the ice storm. Okay? They know exactly who I'm talking about if I say that. Make sure that you don't vote for the person whose wife and daddy got talked about, and then they went and kissed the ring. I ain't got to say a name. I can just make snide remarks.
You can say a name here. I mean, we're not going to suspend you. You can say his name.
I'm just saying. So, yeah, they know. I think that we got a good chance of getting rid of him. He's a horrible person. He's an ass kisser. He let somebody talk about his mama, his wife, his daddy. So I can't respect a person who is like that. And the only reason people are voting for him because the average person don't respect him either, Republican, but they're doing it because he's backing Trump. That's why. I can't stand him. I can't stand Abbott. So let's get Cruz gone, and then we can start praying and work on Abbott with his racist butt. I've never and can't imagine somebody that is so disabled, that is in a wheelchair, that God has given a second chance. It's that evil as he is.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up because I said the same thing about Steve Scalise. You know, you damn near get shot to death, and then you come back, same hateful rhetoric. that you had before you got shot. I just don't, it's just a lot of people, Mr. Elias, when they have like life-changing experiences or when they see the kiss of death smooching their lips towards their face, they usually at that point decide, okay, I need to change the way I'm doing business. It's like when people have heart attacks and say, okay, I got to change my lifestyle. That was a warning. Most people don't survive those, and so I need to change what I'm doing. These folks don't care. They're like, oh, well, whatever. You know, we're going to continue to do what we want to do. So it's amazing to me when you watch, you know, like she talked about Greg Abbott. You know, this guy's in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. I don't wish anything bad on anyone except for Rush Limbaugh and mission accomplished. You can check that. Ooh, you know what? I shouldn't have said that. That was bad. I'm sorry. I'll ask for forgiveness after the show.
CJ?
I'll ask for forgiveness after the show. God forgive me. But what I would say is that when you have people who have had near-death experiences and they still come out the way or still say the things that they say and do the things that they do, it's amazing to me. What are your comments on Cancun Cruz, Mr. Elias? This guy is a former football player. That's his challenge, his Democratic challenger, is a former, you know, football player, clean-cut guy, you know, being in the House of Representatives for, you know, a term or two. So, you know, he's ready to rock. And it looks like he may be able to do it. Give me your thoughts.
Ironic that he has the Cancun Cruz have a Democratic support on that time. I want somebody that's going to work with people. I don't work with anyone. Ironic, the ironic part that I listened to, and I was like, after I've been a Democrat all my life, and I just want to have somebody that's going to resolve to resolve the border problem. Well, isn't it ironic that the Republicans voted against anything to help? I keep hearing these people talking about it wasn't a good enough bill. Hey, you got to start somewhere. Start somewhere and try and fix it instead of sitting on your damn hands and not doing anything. So,
whoa. Say that last part. You said that you hear the GOP saying it was a good enough bill. That bill was all GOP. Matter of fact, it was one of those bills where the Democrats had to just hold their nose and vote for it. Because remember,
okay,
what the Republicans are doing.
When that bill got to the House, what did they say?
No, I know what they're saying. No. I know what they're saying, Mr. Elias. This is just one of those moments where we have to, once again, go into detail about it. It's like when Republicans fought against Obamacare. Hell, it was damn near Romney Care. But all of a sudden, because a Democrat has his name on it, all of a sudden it's the worst thing in the world. That clip you sent me was an eye-opener where they asked these Republican voters, no, I'm sorry, these mega voters, MAGA, however you say it, voters, about certain things that Donald Trump has done and been convicted for and been, acquitted, not acquitted, but has been, indicted for. And when the reporter, and I need to play that on this show. I'll try to get it on next week. When the reporter asked Trump supporters, said, hey, you know, Joe, it's come out that Joe Biden, you know, paid a porn star, blah, blah. Oh, my God, he's the worst thing in the world, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I'm sorry, I got my notes mixed up. It was actually Donald Trump. Well, maybe there was a reason why. I mean, it was amazing to watch that. I laughed. But I was so like, oh, my God, these people are part of a cult. And you say this all the time, Ms. Elias, right? They're part of a cult.
Part of a cult. You need to be part of a cult.
So that's what I was saying. Go ahead.
To me that you would even vote for this guy because he's doing nothing. But tearing apart the country. Cancun Cruz should have been gone a long time ago. That's all he does. He obstructs things. But, hey,
yeah.
You're going to keep voting for him.
You would think that Sheila Jackson Lee would be gone too, wouldn't you? I get back here and that heifer's still in office.
You know what? I tell you what. I was after I heard that audio tape, I have no respect for that woman. I really don't. I know that, listen, throughout my career, I've worked for some tough SOBs, and they have used colorful language. But I have never, even in the military, where rank structure is it, if a senior person tells you to do something, you do it. I did not tolerate anyone talking to me like I was a child. A company that I worked for, the president of the organization said something to me crazy, and I called her out. You're going to respect me as a man. You're going to respect me as a human being. You're not going to talk to me like you're talking to one of your kids. And when I heard that audio, I said, oh, no. She can't get my vote. I didn't vote for her.
When I tell y'all who listening to me and Jay that Texas has the weirdest political climate of people, it's ludicrous. This lady has been in office 99. I don't remember when she's never been in office. And I'm 61.
Name recognition, Vanessa. Name recognition, that's all. It's name recognition, that's all.
I mean, and people are sick of her, but, the older ones get out and go vote for her, and the young ones stay at home. And that's how she's getting in. That's how she keeps getting in, because the older ones like her. You know, that's she was. But the young ones don't like her, but then they won't get out and go vote her out. So, y'all, I'm so sick of, when I tell y'all I'm sick of these youngsters, I don't know what to do. I'm sick of them, because this country is going to go to hell in a handbasket because they won't get their behind out and go do the right thing.
Yeah, and I just don't know if it's youngsters or not. I just think that at the end of the day, you have lazy voters. It's easy to go in and just select. You know, the one thing I will say that I don't like, but I guess at the end of the day, if you really and truly wanted to challenge people to do their homework at the polls, you know they changed it in Texas. You just can't vote straight Democrat, straight Republican ticket anymore.
Nope. You have to go one by one, baby.
Good God, it's crazy. But
it's crazy.
But on the other hand, you know, does it force you to do a little bit more homework on the candidates? Because at some point on the ballot, you're doing eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I'm like, I don't know who this person is. You know, okay, let me look at the name. I'll be honest with you, and I'm sorry for saying this. When I got to a certain part of the ballot, I said, okay, let me look at these names. All right, oh, that sounds like a black person. Let me vote for because I didn't know anything about them.
I did the exact same thing. And if they didn't sound like a black person, if they sounded Hispanic up against a white person, I'd still vote for that name.
Yeah.
But Bobby
did
the homework and gave me. Now, Jay, did you know you could do this? Bobby made out a ballot. You can download a ballot. Bobby researched the people, checked them off, and you can take that ballot in the chamber with you and vote off that ballot.
So Bobby did
all the homework and checked off all the people and gave me the ballot, and I walked right in there with the ballot. They saw it in my hand, and I voted right for that ballot. So the next time you get a minute, download the ballot, Jay, and then check it off what you want and walk it in there with you.
Wow. Mr. Elias, you know, now we're going to be accused of fixing the election because Vanessa's husband.
I don't give a damn what we're going to do. It's legal. It's
to
legal.
The election
and the voting people.
Ballot in there about who you're going to vote for.
No, and well, you know, like, so there's this white boy standing out there, and I said, are you out here for the Republican Party? He said, no, ma'am. I said, oh, okay. Bobby said, Vanessa, you wrong for that. The only reason why you asked that white boy that was because he was white. I said, well, yeah.
Mm.
I just wanted to know why a white boy was standing over there by himself.
Mm. Lord
have
mercy.
I thought he was for the Republican Party, but he said no. He was there for the Democrat. He was just across the street from everybody else. Okay.
Look at
you. I know y'all think I'm crazy. I told y'all I call people out, and y'all think I don't. But it's like, okay, whatever.
Well, no, listen, if you know Vanessa personally, she will do that. I mean, it's amazing to watch it live sometimes, but she'll do it in a minute. She has that mother hen thing going, boy. She'll come at you in a minute. So, no, I'm not surprised by that at all. Not surprised.
He was the only white boy out there in a black neighborhood, and I wanted to know, here for the Republican side? Why are you out here? Oh, well.
Well, there you go, Vanessa, challenging people because of their skin tone. Oh, my God, you are something else. All right, we're going to step out, take a break, 347-850-1272. We appreciate you hanging with us. It's time for some music. We'll be back on the other side.
Hey. Come on, let's go.
Just a minute, I gotta finish this.
Wait, you're gonna post those pictures of Mary?
Yep. She thinks she's so hot.
But her mom and dad will see them. Her grandmother, her little sister, everyone she knows, it's gonna kill her.
Who cares? Just a couple of pictures. No big deal.
No big deal? Don't. This has gotta stop.
Stop cyberbullying. The results could be deadly.
Live over Capitol Hill, where Hunter Biden testified before Congress behind closed doors today. He faced questions from House Republicans as part of their impeachment inquiry into his father, President Joe Biden. For the last 14 months, Republicans have been looking into claims that the president was involved in his son's business dealings with Ukraine and China while he was vice president, something Hunter has repeatedly denied. Democrats say Republicans have yet to produce any direct evidence of misconduct.
This whole thing really has been a tremendous waste of our legislative time and the people's resources.
Just last week, the Republican investigation took a major hit. Their star witness, a former FBI informant, was charged with fabricating his claims that Ukrainian entities paid Biden and his son millions in bribes. Leading up to today, Hunter Biden had been pushing for a public deposition. Instead, Republicans agreed to release a transcript of a private deposition, which could be released in the coming days.
It's 11 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Hunter Biden appeared before Congress this past week, and according to the transcript, he gave him the business. You know, bottom line is, you know, they asked him, are you concerned about Jared Kushner getting $1.something billion from the Saudis? Are you concerned about how Ivanka Trump was able to, you know, after President Trump's, after his term was over, she was able to get all these deals on her clothing. She was hawking her clothing and goods to China while she was still working for the White House. And you know what they got? Abba, 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 abba. So at the end of the day, the Republicans continue to look foolish, Ms. Bailey S., because they have nothing. You're supposed to impeach a president for serious crimes and misdemeanors, and they have nothing, nothing. Their star witness, the person that they said, oh, yeah, this guy has all the goods, turns out he was a liar, and now he's in jail. And now they're trying to downplay that. Well, you know, he had these issues, but, you know, the bottom line is we still call Joe Biden a lie. They are ridiculous and pathetic. And people that continue to support these clowns, God bless you. Bye, Felicia. Your thoughts, Ms. Delias? Ridiculous.
When Smirnoff, they knew. When a report came out that they said they knew Smirnoff, they actually knew. Jim Jordan and the rest of these clowns knew that this was disinformation, and they spread it anyway.
Wow.
Look, man, they should be paid. They should have to pay the American people for all this, all the BS that they put up, and come out and just and pay these people for all the money that we spent on some trying to impeach the president. And you knew damn well that this guy was a not credible witness, and you still put it out there. You knew beforehand. Then your ass should have to pay. Every person that put him up to be impeached should have to pay money. Because if you didn't know, you should have known. Because the FBI warned you that this was not a credible witness, and your ass still put him out there. Just dumb. I just get so tired of being just the dumb stuff that they do all the time.
It's amazing. It is amazing to watch them operate.
It's not dumb. It's slanderous.
Well, it's a combination of both. But then again, you know what? I'm going to agree with you, Vanessa. I think you're right. It's not dumb because they're not paying it. You do. When people say you do dumb things, that means that there's a price behind you doing dumb things. And for the most part, they pay no political price for this nonsense that they do. None. So how dumb is it? I mean, you know, let's just be honest about it. How dumb is it when they do not pay a political price for the nonsense that they do? Now, you can say, well, wait a minute now. They've been losing elections. Okay. And when they talk about, oh, it's supposed to be this great red wave, I still say I don't give a damn if they won by 10 or if they won by 2. They still own the damn, they still are in charge of the House. And by the way, did you see that George Santos showed up for the State of the Union?
He's going to run again, is what he said.
Is that what he said? Wow, that's crazy.
He said he's going to run again.
Wow, good luck with that. But once again, like you were saying, you know, the FBI told him that this witness was not credible. He didn't steal. They held him as the guy. He's the smoking gun. And turns out he's alive. And he's released on bond, and then they felt that he's going to be a flight risk, so then they threw his ass in jail. It's amazing to watch what's going on here in politics. I thought that it was dysfunctional during the Obama years. This is taking it to a whole different level. Because one could say during the Obama years, you hadn't seen anything like this before. But the people who are voting for Donald Trump this time around, and even the ones who voted for him, you know, 3 years ago.
They know what they're getting. They know what they're getting.
There you go, Vanessa. That's what makes it so scary. They know what they're getting. And Mitch McConnell, we talked about this last week. Mitch McConnell, you know, he's retiring eventually. Donald Trump calls Mitch McConnell everything but a child of God. And guess what Mitch McConnell did this past week?
Kiss the ring.
Oh, yes.
They all going to hell in a handbasket.
Chris Sununu, who talked about Donald Trump, big Nikki Haley supporter. Guess what he did this week?
Kiss the ring.
Yep, he did. So now there's a countdown on. You know what the countdown is, Mr. Elias? How long will it be before who kisses the ring, Mr. Elias?
Nikki. Oh.
That's okay. You're right. Haley. Yes, sir. People are saying it's just a matter of time before she comes home too. You can talk about my mama. You can talk about my daddy. You can call my wife ugly. You can do all these things. But at the end of the day, when you put your hand out there, I'm kissing the ring. Ouch.
I don't understand why. Is it that they're afraid of the other Republicans turning on them? Or what?
Well, yeah.
Y'all know this
person is a crook.
Y'all know he got 91 indictments. Y'all know he needs money while he's standing up at the podium lying, saying, I'm rich. Oh, I've got plenty of money. I'm just willing and dealing with these people with his broke ass. Okay.
Well, he's not broke on our standards.
He put his daughter-in-law in charge of the DNC and to the Republican Party.
And I don't know why they let
law in charge
her.
Of.
Well, she's
a
co-chair.
Why they got her in charge of it? That is just crazy.
She's the co-chair.
Is just going to be all Trump. It is. It's going to be all Trump.
Yeah, she is the co-chair. She's not in charge. But
the other person stepped down for her to be able to be co-chair.
She was kind of forced out, and she still kissed.
That's what I mean.
You know, and on the way, walking down from the podium, guess what she did, Vanessa? What did she do?
Kiss the ring.
Yes, yes, yes.
I can't stand these people. They make me sick.
What type of person? Let's take it to the streets for a second. Let's take it to the streets. I'm talking to my people that look like us. If you on the streets and somebody talking about your mama, calling her a whore and calling her this and that and the other, do you think at some point you would say, hey, you know, I like you. I'm going to kiss the ring. I'm going to support you. What type of backbone do you have when you allow someone to call you names? You know, Tim Scott, you know, one of the Cosby kids, that cartoon that depicts him as, what's that character's name, Mr. Elias? The one that has on the
hat. Was it Mushmouth or Buck?
One of them. I mean, my God, that cartoon looks just like him. And
it was much
this mouth. Guy, is it? Okay. So this guy stands at the podium saying, well, I thought you supported Nikki. Listen, Nikki Haley made him a senator. What does he do? I just love you more, boss.
Love you.
I love you, boss. Yes, boss. Yes, I'd be driving, Mr. Daisy. I drive. Yes, Buckwheat. Yes, I mean, oh, my God. Pathetic. It just makes my ass itch. It really does. This is ridiculous. For people to sit and support a guy who don't give two toots about your ass. Don't care about you. Marjorie Taylor Greene, just house decor, house form is just gone. She's in there with a damn hat. I mean.
Can somebody tell me what she's going to get out of all of this madness?
She wants to be the VP.
She wants to be VP.
She wants to be VP.
Is that what it is? Because that's the only thing I can think of. Because she is just going through all of this madness and ugliness.
She's crazy.
That's going down in the history books. And didn't her husband, like, separate from her or something?
You know what? I was just about to say that. Craziness comes with a price, so I think she's divorced. And think about Sarah Palin's husband. You know, he dumped her. So at some point, when you start bringing that nonsense and it has an effect on the family, nobody wants to be around that crazy nonsense. You want to support Trump, fine. But don't be stupid. Don't be ignorant. Don't be just what we're seeing from these folks who are MAGA supporters. I just have never seen anything like this. And you asked a question earlier, why do they support? Because they want to remain in power. They know they can't win on the national stage because there are, thank God, more Americans who are in tune to what's going on and know that this guy is a sham. But they're concerned about just winning in their primaries. They don't care. They can win on their primaries. They know that if they're in the red state, they're safe. So they keep spewing this nonsense. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. It's crazy nonsense. And at some point, you know, when does it end? Who knows, man? I'm flabbergasted by this stuff. I really am flabbergasted. All right, it is time for some more music. DJ Mr. LES is in the house. 347-854-3478-501-272. 23 minutes after the hour. I want to say what's up to myself because I know I'm listening to this while I'm on my way back to D-Town. And I have a question for you guys coming up on the other side. I just want to see if it's just me. Or, you know, is this normal? We'll be right back after this. 347-850-1272. It's the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best.
Come on, let's go.
Just a minute, I gotta finish this.
Wait, you're gonna post those pictures of Mary?
Yep. She thinks she's so hot.
But her mom and dad will see them. Her grandmother, her little sister, everyone she knows. It's going to kill her.
Who cares? Just a couple of pictures. No big deal.
No big deal? Don't. This has got to stop.
Stop cyberbullying. The results could be deadly.
Forever.
478-501-272 is our call-in number. It is the serious side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. It's time to say good morning to my big sis. Good morning, Vanessa. How are you? Oh, I need to turn your mic on, huh? Sorry, Vanessa. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. We are all in our places with bright smiling
faces.
What's going on, Vanessa?
Not much. I cannot wait to tell you about this ship that's around the corner from your house, though.
Oh, well, you know what? You might as well go ahead and tell us about that ship now. Tell us about this ship that's right around the corner from our house.
Okay, so there's a ship that just pulled into Galveston about 2 months ago. Thank you for you. First, it's too loud.
It's called the what?
I can't talk over that music. It's so loud.
It's called the what?
It's called the Jubilee. It is the first German ship that Carnival Cruise Line had made. It is based here in Galveston, 45 minutes from me and you. I just got off that ship. That ship is gorgeous. Gorgeous. And the first year, you get to eat at all these fancy eating places, and you don't have to pay for it, for free, for the inaugural. And Jay, they have got card playing, domino playing, game playing, cubbyhole spots everywhere over that ship. I cannot wait to get back on that ship in November. Now, the casino left a little bit to be desired for people like me who played less than $2 a spin. But those that was playing over there were hitting $1,500, $2,000. One lady hit $10,000 right there next to us for $1.76. So I'm just saying, it depends on what God wanted you to have. But that ship, it's Texas style. They got people wearing cowboy hats and boots, and we wearing our plaid, and hey, we representing, and I love that ship. So that is a really nice ship to have if you ain't got to fly today. It's huge. Good eating places. We never ate at the same place twice, but one night they had the shrimp and, I mean, the lobster and steak night, and we had it at that same restaurant. But you never have to eat at the same place twice on that ship. Never. Never.
Okay. All right. Well, so there you go.
But you saw people playing cards and dominoes and corners, and at night the ship would light up in fluorescent colors and stuff. It's just really nice to be around the corner and they got to fly through it.
Okay. Well, there you go. All right. I want to say what's going on to Pastor Steve, to people that are listening. I want to say what's up to Momo Beezy. I want to say what's happening to Real Dilla. I also want to say what's up to my brother's Hawk, my brother's Mr. Elias, and my brother Jerome Rome. And like Mr. Elias does every week, he gives us the names of the tunes that are played during the break. And the first song is called Revelations by Makita. Love that song. Very nice song. Also, we heard from Gary Taylor featuring Marva Hicks, the late, great Marva Hicks, I Will Be Here. It's 33 minutes after the hour, 347-850-1272. Now, I said before the break I had a question to ask. And Vanessa, I'm going to ask you this question. And, you know, don't hate me because you ain't me, and don't look at me crazy when I ask this question. So, the question is this. Have you ever drank warm milk to go to sleep?
You mean warm milk without having Bailey's in it?
Oh, my God. Warm milk, Vanessa. I didn't say alcohol. I said warm milk without alcohol. Warm milk. Have you ever used warm milk to go to sleep?
If it wasn't warm chocolate milk or warm milk with some Bailey's in it, no.
So you would do warm chocolate milk?
Yeah. Hot chocolate, same thing. My mama used to give it to us when we went to school. Yeah.
Okay, well, I can see that. But before you go to bed, before you go to sleep, you would take hot chocolate.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm on the cruise ship, I drink hot chocolate before I go to bed with a little baby, then before I go on the cruise ship. Yeah, I do. Then why
okay,
not?
Forget the Bailey's.
Okay,
I'm saying
the Bailey's. I still would drink warm hot chocolate before I go to bed. What's wrong with that?
I'm just asking. It's sugar. There's sugar in, like, hot chocolate. Why would you take that before you go to bed?
If I drink coffee before I go to bed, I can't go to sleep. But for whatever reason, I can drink hot chocolate and cuddle up in my bed up under my husband and go to sleep.
Well, the reason is simple. I mean, one has caffeine, the other doesn't. So,
okay,
I mean, that's the reason why.
Well, I can go to sleep. I'm answering your question. Yes, I can drink hot milk before I go to bed.
Okay. I guess I know a friend of mine, she tells me that she warms up milk before she goes to bed. I'm like, what? I've never heard of
that
before.
Drink warm milk. Some people give it to their children to help their children to
rest. Okay, now I can get down with that. But I can't remember.
What's the difference between giving it to a child and giving it to an adult?
Well, because a child, I don't know, Vanessa. I just don't.
Okay.
I'm shocked by that. I wouldn't even know how does warm milk taste? I mean, is it even good? I mean, I don't know. I guess. Like, do you? I remember my grandmother would put warm milk in a put milk in a pot and heat it up on the stove. And I can't remember who she was doing that for, but now I have that memory in my mind where she does that. So anyway, I just thought I'd add 347. Huh?
It helps you to sleep.
Yeah, interesting. So I'm going to start pulling comments. I can't wait to see if anyone's going to respond to this. In the meantime, we have some more show to do. Let's get into it.
You acknowledge that their relationship began in 2019.
I do not have knowledge, but again, I have consulted with the bar as late as yesterday at 4 o'clock. I am not here to...
Your testimony is that you do not have independent knowledge.
I cannot. I was advised by the bar that Rule 1.6 of confidentiality applies and that I cannot reveal anything that I saw or learned. And that if the court is asking me to do that, that an immediate certificate of review should be asked. And so I'm not here to misrepresent to the court or to say anything inappropriate or anything. I am here because I also have a law license. And I'm not trying to lose that.
Okay. That was Terrence Bailey. Bradley, I'm sorry. He was ordered to get back on the witness stand and testify in the Fannie Willis case, I should say. You know, Vanessa, this whole situation in Georgia is making me nervous. First of all, I don't think there's enough grounds to disqualify her on the case, but it kind of goes back to what I've always said. You know, this is a very high-profile case. Why would you even open yourself up to something like this? And at the end of the day, she is the boss, the head honcho. And even though technically Terrence Bradley didn't work, I mean, her lover, what's that guy's name, Wade? Even though this guy didn't work for her directly, he was contracted, I think, the way it was set up. But in the pecking order, he was under her. And for her to even consider, you know, dealing with this dude, knowing what type of case this is, and according to, and based on what the Trump lawyers, not really the Trump lawyers, I think one of the other defendants' lawyers actually brought this case up. But depending on what they're saying, if this relationship started before the Trump case, then why would you put him on the case if this is true? And a part of me, Vanessa, based on Terrence Bradley's, all of a sudden he can't remember nothing, man, a part of me thinks that they were messing around before this happened. I'm just gonna be honest about it. I do, because one of the attorneys who's representing the plaintiffs in this case, she used to be a fan of this guy Wade. She campaigned for him. She wore T-shirts for him. They were very friendly before all this happened. So we can't go back and look at it like we always look at things. Oh, here's a white lady coming after a black man. She supported this guy. So, and she said something very interesting when she appeared in front of the Georgia Elections Commission's board. I think that's what they're called. And she said that Mr. Bradley, all of a sudden, this guy, and I'm paraphrasing here, all of a sudden he can't remember anything. But at the end of the day, if you just want to prove what you're saying is right, they have a program that you can pull all your text messages down and it can remind you. So if you don't have anything to hide, then who cares? I mean, it's like when people say, well, you know, the cops want to search your car. I'm like, okay, I don't care.
They have already pulled the text messages because they pulled 35,000 text messages or something between the two of them.
Yeah, but apparently they don't have the smoking gun. Because
he,
well, I tell you what, he was back on the stand And apparently, whatever they pulled from the from his text messages, it, like I said, it wasn't the golden bullet, the silver bullet. So let me ask you, do you honestly think, in your heart of hearts, do you believe that they was messing around before she assigned him to the Trump case? You haven't been following
it. You said
following
messing
like
around. Are you saying maybe smooching, or are you saying they were having sex? I mean, well, how deep into the messing around do you say? Are you saying?
I don't know about all that.
I didn't really think of it
from that perspective, Vanessa. But I guess if you want to break it down like that, yeah, I just messing around, flirt, you know, fraternization, you know.
Okay, fraternization, being flirty is not the same thing as sleeping with somebody. This ain't the Bill Clinton. I did not sleep with that man. That's not the same thing.
Woman.
If they were just being flirty, that's okay. Flirting is one thing. Sleeping with somebody is another. So,
okay,
I don't know what's the difference.
I guess, let's see. All right, so here we go. I am the biggest flirt, but I have never slept around.
I am the biggest flirt, but I've never slept around. It makes a big difference. It's a big difference. If she was flirting with him before she gave him the job, so.
Wow.
Now,
okay.
If she slept with him, that's another story.
Okay, well, listen, the definition is fraternization is associating with others in a brotherly or friendly way, especially with the enemy. Wow, I did not know that's what it meant. And so what does it mean in the workplace? The definition of fraternization in the workplace, or here it is defined as any romantic sexual relationship between employees or between an employee. Okay. Any romantic, kissing is romantic, or sexual relationship between employees
flirting
or between employee or super. Say what?
Flirting is not sexual.
I didn't say that. I didn't say it was. I asked you, do you think in your heart of hearts, do you think they were messing around? And then you asked me about.
I don't think she slept with him, no.
Well, she did sleep with him. She already admitted that. But you're saying
she slept with him before.
With him
before she gave him that job. No.
Oh, I do.
Okay.
Well, let's bring in Momo Beezy. I mean, I didn't realize her hand was up. Let's bring our sister in. Oh, my God. Brace yourself. What's going on, Mo? How are you?
Momo, good morning. Would you tell
him
there's
a difference
between being flirty and sleeping with somebody?
He
that
knows
wasn't
the
question.
Man. You know what? I don't know what's going on with him this morning. He don't know the difference between flirting and sex. He don't know. He asked about fucking chocolate milk. Oh, sorry.
I'm finna throw your ass off here. You keep this mask up. I will hit you in your eye. Nothing has changed in 10 years, girl.
I don't know what's. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you
I'm
lost
sorry.
Your mind.
I
mean, yeah, go ahead.
I don't know what's going on today.
Whatever.
Look, I woke up. I forgot it was spring ahead, fall back, fall, spring ahead. Yeah, the time was all wrong. I was all messed up this morning. But good morning.
Yeah.
How are
yeah.
you guys?
Good morning. Yeah, what do you want? On my nerves.
I don't want anything. I thought you needed help. You was going back to the baby days.
You know what? All right, 347-850-1272. That is the inconquerable Momo Beezy, folks. So, you know, listen, Vanessa, that wasn't the question. I asked you a simple question. Do you think she was, they were an item before she assigned them to the case?
No.
Well, I do. What about you, Momo? I don't know if you're following this because you only get your news through
I'm
us.
I'm not following that bit.
Okay, well then. Okay, thank you, Momo Beezy. Jesus Christ. All right, we're going to step out and take a break for a news update. Well, hold on. Before we go to break, let me do this. I do not think that she's going to be disqualified because what the Trump attorneys and the other defendants' attorneys have done a good job in, they've done a great job in making this case about Fannie Willis versus the real purpose and the meaning of that case. And I think that's what they're trying to do, distract, distract, distract. And as long as we fall for the okey-doke, you know, they're going to win. Now, thank goodness in this case, the decision is up to a judge and not a jury. Like in the New York case, the judge in that case had already determined that Donald Trump had committed fraud. So all the back and forth was to determine what would the sentence and the punishment be. You have rational people who will be making the decision in that case. And, you know, and as a reminder, basically what they're saying is the reason why she assigned him as the counsel on that case was for him to make money and for her to reap financial benefits from that. And I don't know. I think that I really and truly think that they were an item, because that attorney, Kenneth, did not help them at all. All of a sudden, he has amnesia.
What do you call an item, Jay?
I think they had a relationship going on before she assigned him. I really do. And listen, and in a way, okay. I can't blame
her. I'm not following it as close as I should. So just real quickly, can you give me, out of this whole case that's been going on, and I've been looking at it off and on, give me two things that make you say that it's an item. Not one, because one don't mean nothing. Give me two.
Well, for me, it's one. And it's the attorney, Terrence. I mean, the way all of a sudden, you know, I've always said, if you don't have nothing to hide, then why plead the fifth? I mean, listen, if I didn't do it, I didn't do it. I don't have to plead the fifth. I'm just going to tell you, I didn't do it. All of a sudden, you know, he has, well, I'll give you two. Once again, his testimony and the fact that the attorney for one of the defendants used to support Attorney Wade. So it's not like she has a vendetta out against him. She's just presenting, you know, in her case, the facts. Now, I think it's BS, the fact that I don't think that she put him in place for financial gain. I think that's a stretch. But the whole purpose of this is, did they lie under oath? And so had she just admitted, hey, look, yeah, we were kind of digging each other. I met him at a conference. You know, we stayed in contact. Another thing that helped her was that she had reached out to other attorneys before she had assigned him. And I think that's going to work out in her benefit, because if the whole purpose was for her to assign him to this case so she can benefit from the cash, why wouldn't she do that in the first place? So I think that that's going to help her out. But I really and truly believe that they were an item. They were in a relationship before she assigned him to that case. I do. I'm sorry, but I do. But
okay, so Trump has slept with everybody and called him a hoe everywhere.
Two wrongs don't make a right, Vanessa.
I didn't say that. So all of a sudden he wants to come after her as a way to get her off of the case. Is that what you're saying?
Well, basically what
so
you're
he does
saying
it
is,
who she was sleeping with.
Well, to be honest with you, it was one of the other defendants' attorneys who brought this to the light. I can't think of the guy's name. But they brought it to the light. And, you know, and obviously the Trump attorneys jumped on board. So basically, yes, what they're saying is that the reason why Fannie Willis assigned the guy Wade to the case is because they were sleeping together and that there was a financial gain. That's why they were asking the questions about them going on trips. They were asking the questions about, you know, who spent the money, where the money came from. You know, they were asking. Say what?
$100 dinner.
Well, that's look. I had $100.
I didn't eat $100 worth of food.
Well, it's not even that. It's just where you go. Hell, I spent $149 on dinner last night. I mean, it just depends on where you go. But
hey.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, I was ready to fight.
Who used to go to dinner?
You know what? You stay out of my personal business. Nobody asked you a damn thing. You know what? It is time to go to break, because here you go bringing your nonsense to the show. We'll be right back after this. Ooh,
just a question.
You. Whatever.
Voters in Ireland have rejected the idea of amending their country's constitution to omit references to women's duties in the home. question was put to Irish voters in a referendum on International Women's Day. NPR's Lauren Freyer has that story from London.
The Irish Constitution, written 87 years ago, says, quote, "Mothers shall not be obliged by economic necessity to engage in labor to the neglect of their duties in the home." Irish Prime Minister Leo Varadkar calls that language old-fashioned and sexist, and he urged people to vote yes on an effort to revise it, and to also expand the legal definition of a family to include those who aren't married. But a majority voted no to both. Some said the amendments were poorly worded and confusing. The Catholic Church used to dominate Irish life, but in recent decades, Ireland has voted to legalize divorce, same-sex marriage, and abortion. Lauren Freyer, NPR News, London.
Kate, Britain's Princess of Wales, appears today on the X platform in a photo with her three children wishing people in the United Kingdom a happy Mother's Day. The photo is said to have been taken this week. The 42-year-old wife of heir to the throne, Prince William, is shown sitting in a chair, smiling broadly, in a photo credited to William. It's the first palace-authorized photo of Catherine since she stepped back from the public eye after Christmas. The palace announced in January she was to undergo planned surgery. During her absence, public speculation about her welfare has been rampant. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
All right, welcome back, folks. It is time for Pastor Steve State Your Case, where we read comments from the world-famous chat room and from social media. And because Mr. LES is not here, sorry, chat, if there's anyone in there, we won't be reading your comments. And I'll pull a few comments from some of the social media sites that we monitored throughout the course of the show. Of course, Pastor Steve's in the house. His peace and blessings, family. Great show, as always. I'm a firm believer and the separation of church and state. So all I will say is that I really enjoyed the second set. God bless America. Okay, if you're just tuning in, the second set was about the dethroning or the possible dethroning of Senator Cruz. So wink, wink, gotcha, Pastor. Let me read another one. Marlena from San Antonio says, "I just love y'all. Been listening for a long time. Every time I hear Miss Vanessa say, you know what, I giggle because it reminds me of Princess O and that jingle you would play every time she said that. Have a blessed Sunday." Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Mister, I like this guy. Mister, you're becoming my new favorite dude. Texas R. County says, "Good morning. I agree. The GOP party is off the rails." He keeps it short and simple. I like you, Mister. Let me get one more in here. Let's see here. Here's one. Angie from Miami, Florida. "Hey, y'all. And what's up, Momo B? Jay, I am with Momo. Who you spent $100 on? Hey, 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 hey. None of your damn business, Angie. None of your damn business." And I just saw Momo. I wanted to read something that says Momo. Had I read it in detail, I wouldn't have read that mess on the air. But it's time for our final thoughts. And Vanessa, final thoughts.
My final thought is I have to give Sister Girl a break and hope that she didn't speak with him, but I still believe that flirtation and it's totally separate from speaking with somebody, so that doesn't make her guilty. The other thing is that please get out and vote. I'm going to speak for LES today because he stepped out. And make sure that y'all go vote. Tell your children to go vote. Tell your grandchildren to go vote. This election is too important. They have taken away women's rights to have babies, to have abortions, to in vitro. These men just got too many rights. What's going on with my body? But I can't tell them what to do with their penis. So y'all,
right?
Tell everybody to go vote. And y'all have a blessed week. And I won't be on the ship next week, Jay. So I'll be around.
Oh, really? I'll be around whenever you call me.
Mama, I hope you're doing well, baby girl.
Love you.
All
love
right,
you, too.
All right, Miss Momo BZ in the Heezy, final thoughts.
Whatever. Red Lobster or Olive Garden? Which one was it?
Papa Cedar. Papa Doe. McCormick Steakhouse.
Jay, you so silly. I don't even know why you said that, because you know I was coming for you. Which one was
is
it?
That, So is that, are those your final thoughts, Momo?
Yeah, I ain't got no thoughts.
Oh, well, that's for damn sure. That's the truest thing you said the whole damn time you've been on here. You have no thoughts. God bless you, and see you when I see you. Yeah, whatever. All right, so my final thoughts are, I want to see what's happening in Good Morning to a very dear friend of mine, Keisha. I had a great time last night. So, hey, let's do it again.
You sound stupid. He don't even know nobody named Keisha.
Oh my God.
Now you playing. You play too much.
Yeah, yeah. I had a great time last night. And
whatever.
Yeah, yeah, I did. So
is that your left hand, right hand?
You know what? That's it. That's it. I'm gonna cut her off, Vanessa. I'm gonna cut her off. I don't know why we let her on this Sunday show. She thinks that this is Saturday from 10 years ago. I don't know what's wrong with this woman. I have no idea. But you know, whatever. And some people, I miss Momo. Really? Well, if you really miss it that much, go back and listen to an old damn show. You can hear 7 years of Momo. Just go find it. It's out there. I promise you.
The
J. Rob Show.
The explosion. See,
well, that too.
Every Momo B or J. Rob. What was the show called?
Oh damn.
You need to bring that back. How about that?
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
In charge. $2.99. Have a blessed week.
Yeah, Vanessa. I understand, sweetie. So listen, you guys take care. God bless. And oh, my God. Here we go. I'm going to give it to Momo. Momo Beezy in the Heezy.
Yeah, if it's a Sunday and you wake up early and you want to listen to the serious side of the J-Rouse Show. That's what we do right here. Serious side. We talk serious business until I come on. Then we get goofy. Love y'all. See you next Sunday.
What she said. See you next week. Oh, my gosh.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Hey, 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 good stuff.
If you're ready, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time slot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Farrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what it do, baby.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Rouse Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.